Okay, it's 10 o'clock. We can call the Rancho Murrieta Community Services District Security Committee meeting of April 2nd to order. Starting off, Amelia is going to be sharing the agenda and packet on her screen. And we will start with public comments. Any comments from the public on items that are not on the agenda? We will make sure that we provide enough time for any public to comment during the presentation of agenda items.
And you can see my screen.
Yes.
Correct. Okay, moving on then.
Well, just a minute, I raised my hand. I was question I have curious about security cameras. I was wondering just how many security cameras the security department has access to that they can actually see in wherever they see it and are recording, other than the ones that are on CSD property. And I assume there's a bunch at the gate that is going to be several at the village gate. So I was wondering, how many are there? Are there others besides those?
No, we only have them on CSD property.
And that includes the ones at the gate?
Correct.
The RMA gates?
Correct.
Okay, thank you. I was thinking there was more than that, because I think I see one outside the Murrieta Inn.
The hotel has their own, but we don't have access to any, like RMA has some at some of the parks.
Yeah.
We don't have access to any outside systems, only our own.
Okay, that completely answers my question. Thank you.
You're welcome, okay. Richard.
And just for clarity then, do we have security cameras at the water treatment plant?
Yes, both water plants being CSD property and both gates.
Okay.
And the admin building.
Right. Okay. That's just for a fuller clarification of Richard's question. Okay. Any other comments from the public on non-agendized items? If not, we will move forward. And if one comes up later on, we can always address that during the agenda. Monthly updates, Jeff.
Okay. Good morning. This first item is on the agenda, so we'll defer to that. It has to do with bringing the security code back to committee for further discussion. Operational staff, which includes, which is water department, Paul's department, and patrol. Mandatory first aid CPR refresher training was completed. We had some admin staff, and some gate officers participate as well. The customer service de-escalation training is going to be postponed due to the COVID-19 situation right now. They offered it to be teleconferenced, but with the amount of people we have taking the course, we don't have a room big enough to maintain adequate social distancing and spacing, so I'm not sure that we'll take advantage of that. We may just have to postpone it until after this COVID-19 is over with and operations get back to normal.
Okay, and your notes indicate that that's April 30th, and so that's been postponed from April 30th to some future date?
Correct, and that was a word I got yesterday from their training coordinator.
Okay, thank you.
The topic of AEDs was discussed, but right now we're deferring that to a future date for discussion, maybe next month. It's not on this month's agenda. We have some idea of pricing and a recommendation of a brand to go with from the instructor that taught our course and some information they provided us. But that's the extent of it at this point.
Excuse me, Jeff, this is Tim.
Yeah.
Hi. So I see where the recommendations are for the each patrol vehicle, which I think is just instrumental, as well as the CSD. As we're thinking this through, I know other public utility agencies, there's a small one called SMUD. They've put AEDs on some of their vehicles, like supervisor vehicles, those types of things. So I just think as we move through this, depending on the costs, ideally this is a huge resource considering our demographics of our customers that, you know, at a minimum, I think is what we have that you've recommended. At a maximum, I think we might need a handful more to just have out in the community floating around.
Like on the water department vehicles.
Exactly. Not all of them, but I just think that in this day and age, that is really the standard of first aid, those types of things. That are out there, along with the the hemorrhaging kits that go with the AEDs. Thank you.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, and this is Les Clark. To add to that comment, we also have the additional resource of our fire station right here in the community, and so that's to be considered as well, along with that question that Tim brought up about the cost. And also looking forward on the issue of the, are there any other outside funding mechanisms or assistance that would allow us to consider during, you know, implementation of this? Okay. Go ahead, Jeff.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I thought I heard somebody had a question. Okay, moving on, incidents of note. The two significant ones was March 1st, the Cantova Lane mini storage had multiple break-ins in several storage units and some vehicles. They were able to get some video of potential suspects on that. Interestingly, between that one and on March 6th, which was at the airport, both times patrol had just made a check through the area, and within 30 minutes to an hour, they had hit the place. So we're not sure if they were casing it and looking for us or not, or it was just the luck on their side that they had just missed us. We don't know. We don't have that information. But on the 6th, video cameras picked up movement, set off an alarm, and airport management called us and SSD and met us there. They actually got there before us. They called on their way. The suspects fled, and airport management chased them, and they ended up crashing through a gate at the village and leaving the vehicle and fleeing on foot. The getaway vehicle was the one that they stole on March 1st out of Cantova. So they had come back with that vehicle. They didn't get away with anything at the airport, but I believe there was some really good video footage. The airport's installed really good cameras, and they were able to turn a lot of that information over to the sheriff. And I don't know about physical evidence. The CSI came out and did a lot of processing at both scenes. OE3 had also been hit, but they hadn't reported it yet. They tried to steal a car there and smash through a wall into one of their storage buildings. So the sheriffs, while they were out dealing with the airport, went over to OE3 and processed that scene as well. And some of OE3 cameras also picked up some information. So I'm pretty sure in the near future there will be arrest on this case with the two suspects involved. Airport management commended Officer Connor Tyre, who was the graveyard officer that night, for his assistance, because he found the car after it had gone through the gate into the village, abandoned on a street, and saw the suspects leaving and got a good description before they jumped over the wall and disappeared onto Murrieta Drive. And he was able to provide that information to the Sheriff's Department.
Jeff, just a question on the patrol timing. Are those regular scheduled or randomly varied patrol times?
Random.
Thank you. Just it was just a clarification. I presumed that that was the case. So
right.
Good.
Yeah, and that's the reason why you don't want to set a pattern, because people can figure that out pretty easy.
Exactly. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, go ahead.
Moving on, contract. We're still using PDF occasionally at the Northgate. Joint Security Committee meeting has been postponed due to COVID-19. And that's it for monthly updates.
Okay, are there any questions from the public or comments from the public on that update? Those updates.
Yes, I have a question on the incident of the 17th.
Uh-huh.
Are we going to follow up with our issues, because it is district property? Are we going to move forward with anything further with these folks? And then my second question is, did we notify RMA with this to follow back for them to take follow up for the guests that were invited in?
So two answers. First of all, because it is district property, district ordinance of trespassing applies, and our officers can issue citations for that. We got the Sheriff's Department out there and explained the situation to them, and they basically told us that because these two were juveniles, the juvenile justice system will handle the case. So we were not able to cite them for district ordinance of trespassing on district property. The Sheriff's Department gave them a very stern lecture. As far as the two juveniles that were out there without residence, and then one of the juveniles, both of their parents rode up on bicycles without a resident, all of those were cited under RMA violations for being in the back lakes without residence. So RMA has those citations.
Very good. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Any other questions?
Okay.
Monthly
incident notes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's the incidents and notes. I guess, Emil, you can move on to the spreadsheet.
Well, okay, yes.
So any questions on the monthly report on the spreadsheets?
I do not have any. Les Clark?
Okay. This is Tim. It's more of a, I don't even think it's a question, just more of, I don't know, maybe a rhetorical question. I know a couple of security meetings ago, I asked the probability of combining what RMA has, what CSD has, so that we really have a spreadsheet that encapsulates a majority of everything. I know less. If I understood or I read one of the comments, I think it was the last security meeting, you weren't necessarily in favor of it. I just think as we move forward, having a more combined, integrated information process to me is going to be critical. But that's my thought. I'd like it to kind of get, we can either do it or we can't at security. And if we can't, then I'll probably just end up bringing it up to the board and see if I can get consensus from everybody or a majority to kind of move it forward. So that's my comment.
Okay, and Tim, this is Les Clark. My comment was not, were related to, not that I'm not in favor of it, it's just that there were different reporting time periods, cutoff time periods, that made it difficult to do in time for the security, the CSD's regularly scheduled security meeting. So It's just a situation of reporting cutoff time. So if they can be coordinated, and provides better information, I'm in favor of it. So it may be a situation where we have it follows a month later, from the standpoint of consolidated activity, that probably would be appropriate. As long as if it can be coordinated, if it gets in the record somewhere for information, that's fine with me.
Understand.
Okay, are there any questions or comments about that issue? Public, staff?
No, it's just to reiterate what I said before, unless you pretty much covered it, it's at least a 2-week cutoff date difference between reporting between the two different entities. And so logistically that would be an issue. And as far as how they account for the numbers, I can't speak to their process. I just know our process.
All right. And again, this is Les Clark. So the issue that raises two issues. One, a consolidated report that is a month late at the Security Committee meeting might be helpful. So that's not, that's something that we want to consider, maybe. And then the other is continued coordination on an operational time frame with RMA compliance. That's something that we're interested in furthering that process.
And the only, it would only be for citations, not the spreadsheet for violations is an internal thing. RMA's numbers, if they even track this, won't be there at all.
Okay.
So we have, because we do two spreadsheets.
Good clarification. Thank you very, very much, Jeff. That's important for everyone to consider. So we might want to consider a month late report of a consolidated spreadsheet. So as an example, for this particular meeting, we would be presenting a February combined statistic table.
Something to
consider. Okay. Tim, any comments on that?
No, I think you're right, Les. Jeff, I understand the logistics of the deadlines, et cetera, et cetera. To me, it's just getting a better handle on the big picture when we're looking at trends. Looking at a handful of different spreadsheets, information. If it's confusing to board members that aren't on the committee, which it is, then the general public, I'm sure, is right along with some of us.
Okay, great. All right, then. Continue, Jeff.
Let's see, Amelia. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, Les. What were you?
No, I was just going to say, just contract security. Are we done with RMA compliance grievance safety committee disposition report?
Yeah, we don't have that yet.
I understand that. That's the reason I brought it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item, contract security.
Still using them part-time at the North Gate.
All right. Are there any questions, comments from public, first of all? Then staff, any questions, comments on that monthly update report? Item number 3.
No.
Okay, then moving moving on to item number 4, revision of district security code, chapter 21, an ordinance adopting changes. Yeah.
Okay. Just a reminder, going back, I believe back in January, this had been initially presented to the board to adopt cleanup of the security code chapter 21 and change the wording for the late payment penalty interest rate under board action that was approved. So that language in the code had to be changed. And then during that time, there was some discussion, some other language. It was sent back to committee. We had two committee meetings after that. Each one was absent one of the directors. So each had comments over a period of a couple months and at the board meeting. So it's back again for discussion in committee regarding some language, and maybe Director Mabee can speak to it. It was his comments. It has to do with, if I understand it correctly, it was all the amendments and interests were fine. The language really has to do with protecting life and property and observer report, and if there's a potential conflict between the security code and the security policy.
Okay, Director Mabee, do you have comments on that?
First of all, thank you, and thank you for putting up with this for a couple of months, since both Les and I haven't been for a couple of meetings. Really, when I look at Ordinance 98-1, it's as vague can be. So for what the intent is, I believe the background information that security put together addresses it. I still think that outreach to the community is still very confusing with how the verbiage is. Again, most of this ordinance really covers a lot about district property and then just a little bit of taxes and about two or three paragraphs, if that, of the security services themselves. So I'm willing to live with what we have. I think it's more now of an issue that John Merchant, Director Merchant, brought up at the fiscal meeting that we had a couple weeks ago or last week. But as far as the background information and moving this forward, we're going to have conflicting statements in there, and if the rest of the board's okay with it, then we'll move it forward. But I would support moving this to the rest of the board, Les.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a question. Director, maybe you said it's Ordinance 98-1.
Yeah, that was, and it deals with establishing and continuing the security tax. And when you look at it, I mean, it is as basic as to be approved, authorizing special tax for security services to fund continuation of security services by the district, including but not limited to operating 24-hour security gates, providing 24-hour mobile patrol, both 365 days a year with ancillary services, including assistance to outside agencies, other services authorized by the board to protect customers and property. And when you look at like section one, the findings, it really talks more about providing security and protection for real property owners within the district. So that's how it was written. The intent was there. Like I said, it's very vague. As you put in your background, as it's noted in Ordinance 98, it talks about the government code and really a lot of the items that we do in security actually fall, like you said, in the business side, dealing with security departments.
Okay, I'll look up 98-1. I don't have that in front of me. I do have 2008-05. Have you seen that one?
I want to say I don't have it in front of me, but yes, and I would tell you, Jeff, don't waste your time on that, on the 98-1. That's just the original documentation. And again, I'm not a literal person. I'm more of what was the intent. And the intent was to continue the service. So I agree with all of that. There's some other fiscal language in there, but that's what Director Merchants brought up, and that's a different committee.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna, for anybody listening, policy 2008-05 is pretty specific. I think it's especially the number one, it's titled the number one first paragraph, and it really breaks it down into our responsibilities in general, and it specifically says that you know, security, and it breaks it down for each position. It are not peace officers, and this is what we do. And then it talks about gate and patrol and different things like that. So at some point, this may have been a newer one to clean up that old language. But maybe people should take a look at that policy. 2008-05.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. And this is Les Clark. I believe we need to put in perspective the reasons for each of those policies that were just discussed. The 9801 was intending to establish the criteria for a newly adopted Prop 218 special tax. Previously, security services had been funded by a fee. Prop 218 required those services to be funded by a special property tax. And so that was the genesis of 98-1. So it was predominantly outlining general security services, a general scope of security services, and how they would be paid for. I think the 2008 policy is a more up-to-date refinement. And so I don't think they're incompatible at all. One was a document to present the financial aspects, the financial foundation of the service. And the other is a refinement of the operational standards.
Yeah, they had to start somewhere back in 98.
That's correct. One of the main questions within the change was the language that you've highlighted in your report to protect life and property. And I think people read that too literally. It's not that CSD has the sole responsibility to protect life and property. It is that that's one of their functions, and in a supplementary role to the larger sheriff's department's I can't think of the word right now, but their intent is you know, we're sharing that statement to protect life and property as a supplemental, not as a primary.
Correct. Joint okay. Responsibility.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Shared responsibility. And I believe that there were some comments from the public about that particular issue, and let's recognize that that's just a general statement. Okay, and with that, I'm ready to concur with Director Mabee that we move this the District Code Chapter 21. Revision to the board for consideration and potential adoption.
Okay, so Amelia will have to just update the date on the ordinance to then bring that forward to the board meeting.
I'll okay. include it in the board packet and I'll add it as an agenda item.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Mark, any comments on this?
No, I think Jeff described it well. We made sure that in the memo on this that we were clear that those two statements are not necessarily in conflict with our role.
Okay, great.
Yep.
All right, thank you. Are there any public comments on this particular item? Item number four. Okay, moving on then to item number five, discuss alignment monthly statistical charts. I believe we just did that.
Yes.
Are there any further discussion items, points about that item? Hearing none, let's move on to item number six, discuss a letter from Murrieta Village regarding security cameras.
I don't know if Mr. Martin wants to take this or I can speak briefly. I think at the last board meeting, It was briefly mentioned that we had received a letter in support of, which essentially what it is this goes back to developer impact fees that the district is receiving from the new homes at the Murrieta Garden development. And one of the things that we were exploring is installing camera that covers Murrieta Drive at the entrance to the village, with some potential impacts, security concerns that with the increased vehicle traffic in that area now, the end of Cantova Lane is being developed out with more businesses. The airport keeps expanding, so there's a lot of vehicle traffic in and out to the airport, as well as in and out to the hotel and the homes, that the village could be wide open for trespassers to come in and cause issues or problems. So what we were exploring is installing a camera that would cover that intersection. And this letter essentially is from the Murrieta Village Homeowners Association, who supports the idea and plan of installing a camera at that location.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Are there any comments regarding this item? Give a minute or two for hands raised, any of them.
I raise my hand.
Yes.
I just have a couple of comments. And one, I think I've mentioned this before, that, I realize you're busy, but I think it's inexcusable not to have a written policy on dealing with cameras and installing all these cameras. You know, I'd like to know who has access to it, under what circumstances, how long it's going to be retained, et cetera, et cetera. And part of this, I see in this letter that the village would like access to the camera. My impression is that, you know, there's cameras at the gate, at the RMA gate, and that in the past, RMA wanted access to the cameras, and you said no. And I think that's totally appropriate. And I think that should be the response to the village. But it's, you know, my question is, what is the policy? And right now, there may be some informal policy, but I think there really needs to be a formal written policy that we can rely on, that, you know, it's not sort of, you know, really ad hoc, that some people have access to it and some people don't. I mean, I'd like to have access to it. You know, why can't I get access to it? I guess that's my comment.
This is Tim. I'll explain to Richard why we're where we're at, and then the general manager can definitely jump in. Richard, I'll take ownership of that. I requested staff to separate out the video camera policy from the body camera policy. With that being said, it's a multi-month task to achieve that. So with that again being said, the ownership of why we don't have a formal policy, I'll take full responsibility for, because I requested a separate policy separating the body camera from the camera policy. So that's work in progress. So that'll be coming very shortly. And all the concerns you just brought up are the ones that'll be in the policy, and it's going to have more specifics exactly to who does have access, when, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, the reason the district doesn't have a current policy is I specifically asked staff to separate, to go through, so we could address it at this point. Obviously, I had concurrence of other board members, but that's the reason why we don't have a current one. Thank you.
And this is Mark.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
With those statements that it's an item that's in process to develop a more formalized policy.
And you, when you say an item in process, you're talking about the camera policy as opposed to the body camera.
Correct.
Okay. That's fine with me, as long as it's in progress. I would like to see it happen before the camera's installed, but probably that's not practical, so I can accept that.
Well, and this is Tim again. Specific to that question, Richard, cameras are already in process at both gates. So we already have cameras going. This would just be an additional one. We recognized at the district that we needed a more formalized, specific camera policy, and that's what we're working on. Again, I was not going, and when I say I, probably board members, but I'll take the responsibility. We weren't going to put an artificial deadline to staff to have them try and get this done by just an arbitrary deadline. It's one that it's on the list, it's in the hopper, the priority changes, but at the end of the day, I would think probably before the calendar year is out, we will have a formalized camera policy.
Okay, that's fine with me. I just wanted to get on the list, and it's always at the bottom. So, no, I'm happy with that.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
Sorry, just Richard, just rest assured, we have procedures and policy in place already. Any new policy would supersede or replace either an old one or be completely new to fill a void, which is kind of where Director Mabee wanted to go with it, is to be more specific, because we have a generalized policy that's been in existence for years. And our camera system is secure and it's locked down, and we just don't share with anybody. Okay. There's got to be, if RMA comes with a request, they got to have a significant reason to view the video. They just can't say, well, we want to look at this, and we just let them have it. There are controls and mechanisms in place. Okay, so feel a little comfortable in that as it is today. Policy will clean up some things and make it more specific, where we're now bifurcating our policy to, we have body cameras and we have gate cameras, which would include basically any CSD facility, because as we discussed earlier, we have cameras at all the CSD properties. And if we ever got in-car cameras, we'd probably have a policy on those as well. Okay?
Okay. I got the impression there was some kind of, more or less informal policy. So, a few months back, I was at some meeting where you discussed the fact that RMA wanted access to the video of somebody going through the gate, and basically you said no. I think that's what the policy should be.
And you can't use that particular case as an example. There was a lot of other things involved in that were not public information.
Okay.
Discussion topics.
Okay.
So, okay.
Okay, that's fine with me.
Okay. Tim, was that discussion regarding the policy brought up at the last security committee meeting that I was unable to attend? Is that?
No. This has been, several months in the process. And really, I think when the security department got approval for new body cameras last year, would have been this fiscal year, but last calendar year, that's when we looked at really having specific two different policies. So that's the timeline.
Correct. It was, I want to say, the latter part of last calendar year, because we bought the cameras right at the end of the fiscal year. So sometime towards the end of summer is when we introduced a brand new body camera policy and revisions to it. And that's when this topic came up. So probably last summer.
Okay, thank you.
And Jeff, this is Mark. I also, as part of having this item on the agenda, the intent was also to provide an update of where we are as far as costing the system at
Miranda.
Yeah.
Okay, so correct. So the second part of that is, first part was a letter of support from the HOA at the village. The second part is we have our camera vendor, Watchdog Surveillance, went out and spec'd out the site, provided two different estimates depending on if we have to go wireless or wired. And both of those estimates are roughly $6,500 to $7,000, depending on which way we have to go with it. And that's a technical thing, depending on if we can get the infrastructure for the cabling or line of sight for wireless, et cetera. And that money, like we discussed earlier, is coming out of developer impact fees. Our current amount in that fund is roughly $40,000 to date. So the money is there.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are there any other further questions, comments on this particular item? Okay, moving on then to item number 7, discuss resident concerns about COVID-19 rules enforcement.
Yeah, let me take this first, Jeff, and then I'll let you chime in. You know, we've had feedback from various residents and others on a desire to have security enforce the COVID-19 mandates by the county health and state, et cetera. And as far as the legal authority to enforce that, that falls under county health and Sacramento Sheriff's Department. And so part of this is a strategy of, you know, the complaints about kids congregating together out at the lakes together closely. What should that role of security be, and what can we do? And so the chief and I have been discussing it. It's something that I think RMA needs to have some discussion at their board level about, as far as giving direction as to how they would like security to enforce it within the means that we have. We do not have the means to cite for that. So what our strategy is as of today is to have security gently remind individuals they see if it appears they are stepping outside of the mandate or the suggestions, just to remind residents. So Jeff, I'm going to let you expand on that.
Okay, sorry, I had to mute so I didn't cough in everybody's ear. And no, I don't have coronavirus, sorry.
Hay fever.
Yeah. So, correct. We have been getting phone calls. Some of the gate officers, quite angrily, you know, they have received phone calls from very angry residents demanding we go out and stop the kids from playing basketball in the park and you know, enforce a strict total lockdown, which isn't the case anyway. And we did post information on the CSD's website. It pops right up on the main page about our role in the current situation. Currently, Sacramento County is still operating under the separation, stay home, and essential work. Businesses open, people traveling to and from work, that kind of thing. We are not on a quarantine, which legally is a completely different set of circumstances than recommendations by the health department and actually the whole state now through Governor Newsom's actions a couple weeks ago. Sheriff Scott Jones, his position with his department is at this point, it's education over enforcement. So we've kind of taken that position. The best we can is to educate, remind people of the conditions, but we can't enforce anything. A lot of the complaints we've been having this past week and over the weekend are kids out late at night running amok and on weeknights because they're not in school. And, you know, why aren't we doing anything? So that's kind of where I had reached out to RMA on Monday to get their opinion if they want us to use their curfew ordinance or you know, certainly we can decide if they're in the park after hours, but, you know, kids playing basketball, are they within 6 feet at times? Probably, but that's one of those things where, yeah, they want you to go outside and get exercise, but they want you to keep your distance too. And so right now our position is if we get a call and we go, we'll make contact and just remind people social distancing, you know, that type of thing, more of an education standpoint. If people are insistent, we've informed them over the phone. It's also on our website. The mechanism that Sacramento County has put in place for complaints of people or businesses violating the directives is to file with the 311 system. You can dial 311 or go online and file it through a written form on that system. And then they forward those complaints to whether it be law enforcement or the health department for follow-up, whatever they do with it. So that's kind of where we're at now with this.
Okay. Are there any questions, public, additional comments?
The only comment I wanted to add to it, we did kind of put it at the end of our statement, is this comes down to personal responsibility and using a little bit of common sense. And if the kids are old enough to understand personal responsibility, say teenager-wise, and they're not exercising it, then, you know, perhaps that's where if we get a call, we can educate them. But it also is incumbent upon the residents and the parents, too. And if these kids are out at 11:30 at night driving around in golf carts, throwing rocks in houses, I question several things on that. And that's been, over the weekend, that was a lot of complaints that we had. There was a lot of rock throwing at houses and causing damage and breaking some windows and things like that going on.
Mm-hmm. And all of that underlines the need for continued close operational coordination between CSD security and RMA compliance, which we're trying desperately to implement an environment where we can closely collaborate. And so that's important. It's unfortunate that some of the Joint Security Committee meetings have been postponed, but that's the goal for those Joint Security Committee meetings. Are there any other questions, comments about this item?
Yeah. Two things. If we're seeing the trend, obviously, and I already know that staffing patterns will be modified, but the first comment that I wanted to get to that I underlined in my notes, I appreciate the customers calling. I don't think that the CSD staff have to phone those types of phone calls. If a customer's irate in the phone call to me, that would be an absolute follow-up, not only in a phone call, but also in writing, to re-educate folks, to get across those types of things. Because at the end of the day, I appreciate the frustration, et cetera, but the folks taking the phone calls, you don't go after the messenger in this case. If we need to do re-education with a handful of folks that are calling in, I think that's absolutely appropriate. Thank you.
Okay. I know some of a couple of these people the sergeant did follow up with, say, the following day, to make sure they understood that this is not on us. We're just, like you said, the messenger in this, and how they can follow up and file a formal complaint with the appropriate way, the appropriate authorities, if that's where they want to go with it.
Yes, thank you, because I really think at the end of the day, purely from a customer service standpoint, that follow-up interaction is just critical for how we're going to deliver, or how our, the perception of how we deliver our service and how it's taken, to me, just can't be underscored enough. Thank you.
Again, the word civil has two meanings and should be applied in both of its differentiating meanings. being civil versus a civil service. Okay. Any comments on that item? Moving on to item number 8, Joint Security Committee update. And there,
there
is none. Go ahead.
No, we covered that in my operational update. That meeting's been postponed due to COVID-19.
Okay, and we've had subsequent comments associated with the reasoning for that. All right, any other questions, concerns, public, about item number 8? Moving on then to item number 9, director staff comments, suggestions, and that is both director and staff. Let's staff go first.
No. Yeah, this is Jeff. I don't have anything else to add other than just everybody, you know, this is certainly unique in our lifetime at least, and mm-hmm. stay, hang in there and stay healthy. They're expecting it to get worse before it gets better.
Mm-hmm. This is Tom. I have nothing to add.
Thank you.
And this is Paul. We just put the buoys out and have been setting them around the intake at the Chesbrough Reservoir, and most comments have been positive from the public so far.
Paul, if I can stay with that for a second. I just noticed that the other day when I was out back riding there. Two things. One, I'm sure they're not oil drums that, you know, we're using, but my comment was that even when we put the fence up, I noticed some of the debris gets caught more often on the fence, and now that the buoy's up, I notice it's catching it. So I don't, at the end of the day, it's RMA's well, let me back up. I'm not sure if it's RMA's function or if it's ours, but you know, it just, debris getting caught there. If you're aware of it, outstanding. If it's an RMA issue, we just need to put it on their radar. But yeah, I saw the buoys. I thought it was great. It adds actually another level of safety and everything else. So thank you.
Yep. We'll keep an eye on any debris and we'll work to remove that.
Okay, great. Any other staff, any other director comments?
I have one, and that's to all the staff that's here on the this meeting, and then all the staff that's out in the field. Duly noted, much appreciated. It is something that is somewhat unique for how we do things as a governmental agency. At the end of the day, things are still getting done. Maybe not the timelines that some of our customers want, but at the end of the day, staff is doing a very good job just dealing with all the issues at hand. So thank you.
Okay, and this is Les Clark back. I just wanted to raise another question or comment, and there was a recent RMA communication regarding barcodes, RMA barcode issuance, and also boat permit issuance. That I forwarded, made sure that Chief had a copy of it and he had already received it. My question is, was there any coordination from RMA with CSD prior to issuing that public notice?
Excuse me, a little bit. We had, as soon as RMA and CSD, which happened about the same time, our buildings, we went into essential staff mode and then remote office work. Denise and I had some previous communication on a workaround for that, because obviously people can't go to the RMA building and have their paperwork signed. And we weren't taking walk-in customers in our lobbies at the gatehouses. Although I had my staff, if somebody had already had the paperwork, a way that we could still handle and get them their barcode. So there was a workaround in place until that letter that you mentioned, Les, came out. And then I guess that's the system that RMA's come up with, so we're following that now.
Okay, and no significant impacts, and so it's a workaround required by these times and this environment, and so all is good. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, continued cooperation and coordination on from both sides was being observed.
Okay.
Okay, any other comments?
This is Mark. I only have to add that, you know, this is a dynamic situation. So as regulations and rules change, we'll be updating the community and reaching out if there are any changes to what our role is related to the COVID-19.
Okay. And, you know, I just add a sub note to that, staying in touch with CFD website is important for all of the community to make sure that they're up to date on any of those changes. It's a rapidly changing environment. And with that, I guess we can have a motion to adjourn. And
yeah, I'll make that.
All right, and I will second Les Clark. And we were advised by a very astute resident regarding the protocols for online or virtual meetings, in that most votes and things like that have to be, in effect, a roll call vote. So we just had that, and we appreciate that being brought to our attention, and we'll try to make sure that we do that on all subsequent online meetings. With that, we stand adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Amelia.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Amelia.